The second reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Steve. I'm a new member of the ministry team, and I'll try not to fall off the front here. We'll just get used to the space, and lovely to meet so many of you over the last week or so. But for those who I haven't said hello to yet, look forward to saying g'day over morning tea. And we're going to work through Advent thinking about making Christmas count. So my first question is, how can we make Christmas count as people who are Christians as we approach the festival of this year? Let me explain what I mean. More and more, I'm sure you'll agree, the focus of the Christmas season is shifting just further and further away from the core message of Christ and the hope of salvation to eternal life. For example, a friend of mine came down from Brisbane last week to church, and she said she'd been to the local shopping centre where she shops, and all around the buildings was this sign that you see on screen, "Happy Everything." And she said, "Oh, I suppose it's kind of good that it's at least inclusive of Christianity. You know, you can include it in there." But she said, how far we've moved from saying, you know, what Christ is to everyone. So happy everything, I guess. Then I checked out the Meyer windows back in Melbourne. And because I'm a Bluey fan, I sit with my granddaughter and I watch episodes of Bluey when I'm visiting her. I love Bluey. But I fear that Bluey's popularity is going to keep the kids stuck on those windows and maybe no connection whatsoever to the birth of Jesus, the hope of eternal life in him, the whole idea of salvation. It's kind of, if you like, distracting them happily from all the things that we think are important as we come to Christmas. And then there's Delta. Delta Goodrum, she's a national treasure. She's born to try. She's a force of niceness. We love her. You can't criticize Delta, can you? But her motivation for her Christmas campaign really struck me. She's asked everyone to do at least one act of kindness. And she said, "I got my inspiration from the 2003 feature film Love Actually." Wow. And that's how far, folks, we've drifted from the core message of Christ at Christmas. Now, don't get me wrong, all three of those examples are actually quite positive. Happy everything. You know, it's like positive. Bluey has great morals and family values. I commend Bluey to any young family. And Delta, you know, I love her. I think she's great. And the whole idea of getting people to have one more act of kindness this Christmas, nothing wrong with that. But it seems to me that what lies behind our acts of love and kindness is no longer connected in society. By a long way, it's drifted, don't you think? So I'm keen to ask how we Christians Many of you in the room have followed Jesus for a long time. You know the hope of the gospel. You know how important Christ is, not just to you, but to the salvation of the whole world. How can the message of Christ cut through you this Christmas? What can you do that will make a difference to show the love of God in Christ to others in a world that is scattered in its approach to what Christmas is about? How can the love of Jesus shown chiefly to us and to the world on the cross, saving us from our sins, how can we make that visible in our attitudes and actions as this Christmas approaches? Well, I want to turn to the scripture reading we heard from Matthew chapter 1. So if you've got your Bible, you might like to follow verses 18 to 25 because it's a very familiar reading, and it's a reading we often only look at when we've got the Christmas trees up and the candles all glowing. So what can we learn from the story about Joseph today about making Christmas count? Just got this one point that I'm going to make, and then I'm going to suggest some actions we can take this Christmas. So ride with me in the text. I'm going to take you to verses 24 and 25. We'll put them up on screen. When Joseph awoke from his dream, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, and they named the baby Jesus. You can read the rest of the words there. But I want you to notice that it was the word of God coming to Joseph, in this case in a dream, quite common in the Middle East, both ancient and modern, for dreams to be a legitimate form of divine revelation, particularly in ancient times. A heavenly messenger brings the word of God. You and I can turn to the scriptures or ask someone who's well-versed in the Bible today to capture the word of God and be moved by it. In Joseph's case, he went to bed and his whole course of life was changed. The word of God changes the way people act towards God and the way people act towards others. And in Joseph's case, it's a huge example. He changes the course of his life through God's power and message from helping himself to acting in love towards both God and Mary. The word of God, people, changes the way we act. And it's important that we ride on that as we come to this Christmas celebration and think, how can we make Christmas count as Christians this year? Early in this passage, if you've got it open, you might have seen that Joseph is referred to as a righteous man. Matthew makes the point that he's a righteous man. That's in the margin in your NIV. The translators wanted to paraphrase it. But in doing so, they've kind of limited how the word might have been used. It's okay that he was faithful to the law. The word righteous and the Greek word behind it are often used in the New Testament in a positive sense for how we now stand right before God through God's grace and goodness to us in Christ. So you'll see that word righteous in that context a lot. Here, I think Matthew's making the point that Joseph's community and his culture were such that people would have expected Joseph to act in a certain way. He will do the right thing. Joseph's a good bloke. He knows exactly what we people think is right. So it's important to understand that he would conform to his culture and its rules, even rules that were taken from Scripture and used as the way they formed their Hebrew community at the time. Mary is pregnant out of wedlock in our kind of language. Betrothal is a lot more than engagement, though, in this ancient society. You actually needed, if you wanted to break the bond that's been made before consummation of the marriage, through an approach to the elders and get a letter of divorce and completely separate yourself from the other partner. This is what the society would have expected Joseph to do, knowing that she was pregnant, not by him, yet betrothed to him. You probably know this story. What you may not guess is that early Hebrew community could have reached back into the book of Deuteronomy and exacted quite severe punishment upon Joseph if he continued to see Mary. Now she was pregnant, not by him. So there's a lot at stake in this dream and this decision that Joseph makes in this important narrative as we lead up to Christmas. Notice then that it's the word of God coming to Joseph that leads him to take the road less traveled, the harder path, the sacrificial journey that truly worships God and truly serves both Mary and the world. He risks his own and Mary's reputation publicly. He takes her as his wife, cares for her during this pregnancy, so controversial, right through to the birth and raising of the child, Jesus. But importantly, we see in the words of Scripture, Joseph believes and trusts God's plan for the salvation of the world from their sins. You'll remember we heard in Isaiah chapter 64 the messianic hope of God coming down. And though the people were unable to save themselves from all their wrongdoing, God would save. And Joseph hears in the word of God, this child will save the world from its sins. The word of God moves people to change the way they act, to show love towards God and love to others. So that's our scripture. I think it's got a really important message for us to grab this morning. Keep ourselves connected to, open to the word of God. Don't think, oh, I've read the Bible a few times, it's pretty good. See it as active and living and life-changing every time we sit devotionally to let the word of God address us, let the Holy Spirit transform us. So what can we do in the light of what we saw in Joseph's story? I got a few practical ideas. You might think they're a little trivial. Let me explain that I think everyone here can do something to make Christmas count and let there be love, the love of Christ on show amidst all our celebrations. Instead of just drifting off topic with everyone else this Christmas, you and I know the good news. We have the Word of God readily changing the way we think and act. Let's make the love of Christ known and visible as best we can so our neighbours and friends get it through us this Christmas if we can. So, firstly, I thought, why not put a symbol of a cross amidst your other Christmas decorations? Now, you can just go, what? That's an Easter symbol. What are you going to do with that? You can't put it near your Christmas tree. Christmas is Christmas and Easter is Easter, right? Wrong. And we see it in the text of Scripture today, don't we? Did you notice in verse 21 of our passage, the word of God to Joseph told him, Mary will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save the people from their sins. Two things here. Lots of babies born were called Jesus or Yeshua in those days. Just means God saves and God does. But here, Matthew shows us right from verse 18, messianic hope, and here in 21, that this Jesus is the hope for the sins of the world. Folks, in the Christmas narrative, the cross is already here. The cross is here in the hope of this baby Jesus. So why not put it in the visible decorations of your house? Now, I live up on Chum Street, Golden Square. I've been there 5 minutes. And already every front yard and house along my street has blow-up Santas and enormous trees decorated. The lights are going off. I fear there's going to be fireworks every night till Christmas Day. But it's fantastic. But there's no mangers. There's certainly not a cross in sight. So a simple thing you could do, make sure the cross is visible in your Christmas decorations because it's here in the scripture, folks. That's what's important. That's the core of Christmas. Not the cradle, it's the cross. That's what he came and was born for your sake and for the world's sake. Let's make it visible. It might be just your little window at the front of the house with a Christmas tree and lights. Stick a little cross. It doesn't have to be on the top. You can keep a star or an angel. That's fine. But why not show the cross and have someone ask, what have you got a cross there for? And you just go, because that's right at the heart of what Christmas is about. Secondly, I thought that maybe you could, you know, give some things away, give a small gift to your neighbour, attach a card to it with a scripture verse of hope. I've got a friend who lives in the CBD in a big apartment block on Collins Street, and each Christmas his kids make Christmas cookies with just a few words, God loves you, and they put them at the doors of each apartment on their floor. And everyone knows whose it's come from. And it's just a thing they could do because they love cooking up cookies, right? Not hard, but they want to make Christmas count, showing what the love of Jesus is. Why not invite someone to HT to one of the carol services? It just blows me away that people will say, oh, no, I wouldn't set foot in a church. You go, do you want to come and sing carols? And they go, love to. Love Christmas carols. That's great fun. And we've got an opportunity. I don't know whether you've ever noticed, but the hymns of Charles Wesley long ago that we often sing at Christmas time. I don't know whether you've noticed in the lyrics, it's not just all romance about the cradle. He includes incarnation and atonement in almost every carol he's written that we sing. That is, that God came down to us in the baby Christ, fully human, fully God, incarnation, but also that his purpose and his life's direction was for our atonement, to save us from our sins and that of the whole world, and bring us the hope of eternal life by grace through faith. So get this, you can invite your friends. They'll go, I love singing carols. They'll end up singing, seeing, and hearing the love of Christ at Christmas. Let there be love, the love of Christ. In your Christmas, you can see some other ways that you. I thought you could possibly serve. I went to back to Carlton to clean up my old house the other day. Went to the cafe to get some lunch. I was so hungry. One of the ladies who I often see in the streets for the last 17 years, she said, "Let me buy you lunch." She opened her purse, tipped out all her $2 coins on the cashier at the local cafe, and said to the manager, "I'm paying for him." And I thought, she's doing better than me. She's showing love and she's not even coming to our church. I thought, I've got to get generous this Christmas. I've got to show love, not just sing it and say it. I've got to act towards the needy. Clergy are pretty needy, you know, so she was acting towards me. But think of how you can get through the Mad Cow program and actually do something this Christmas and show that love is real and practical because of Christ. Now, perhaps you don't feel like you've got much to offer. You don't have a Christmas tree or even a front window. You're not sure how you can make Christmas count. Penny and I went to Italy a few years ago, went to a little medieval town called Todi in Umbria. Beautiful. Went into a small church, and at the front door we were greeted by a diminutive, about this high, crooked, no English speaking Franciscan monk, just in his lovely brown Hessian outfit. Nothing on him. Didn't have audio, you know, cans to put on my ears. Didn't have a fancy pamphlet to start with. And I thought, well, I'll say hello and I'll move on. But he beckoned us. I thought, he's got nothing for me. What am I going to learn from this guy? He doesn't even speak my language. He took us to each of the large paintings in the small church around the room, each depicting a scene of the New Testament painted by Italian masters. And he began to act out each of the scenes without a word of English. One of the paintings even had a depiction of Mary pregnant with her villagers looking on in shock and horror that she was pregnant and Joseph reaching out to take her as his wife. Once we got to the end of all the pictures, we felt like he had told us his whole testimony of how Christ loves us and the world. And he had nothing to give me. If you think you've got nothing, remember God will use who you are and whatever you've got. If we ask, God can help us to let there be love this Christmas, to make Christ known, to make this Christmas count. for Jesus' gospel. Long ago, the word of God changed the course of Joseph's life to move him to love God and to sacrificially love others. Keep the word of God open, my friends. Let that be your story. This Christmas, let the word of God move you and let there be love. Let's help others know through our attitude and actions what the cross is about. Long ago, a young woman gave birth to a son who is called Jesus, which means God saves, and who is called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Let's make it known. Amen.